to you, and I want to ask you to turn to Psalm 78 this morning. I want to tell you, first of all, I'm grateful not only that there's 50 years of ministry here, but I'm excited about what I saw on those boards out there, and I see back here world missions, that you already know that as a church you have been given a commission to go. And that you already understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, He didn't give that as an option to be considered, but a command to be obeyed. Amen? It's not something like, you have a business meeting and say, well, should we do missions or not? No, you don't have to have that discussion, because you know that you have been given a command by the Lord in Matthew 28 to go make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach them. Amen. You know that, right? And you know that not just the preacher's job or just the deacon's jobs or even Sunday school teachers. It's every member's responsibility to share the gospel. And you remember it also, I know you're familiar with Acts 1 and 8. Because years of these messages, I'm sure, have been presented to this church about doing mission work and how that it's not just overseas, it's here too. At the same time that you're doing mission work in other countries, you're also doing mission work right here in Muldrow, Oklahoma. Amen. And not just here, all through Oklahoma and all through the United States. Acts 1:8, remember, says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall, that's everyone, shall be witnesses unto me, both in, or at the same time that you're in Jerusalem, also, and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So it's all at the same time. Local missions, state missions, interstate missions and foreign missions. It all needs to be done. And what foreign missions, what I always like to remind people of, when you're supporting a missionary to go to Romania, as we were, or to the Philippines, or to Africa, or any other country that you're already supporting, those folks are there as your representatives. You're supporting them. You're saying, we're not necessarily interested in going ourselves, but we know that that's part of our work, our responsibility. So we found a man who's willing to go. We're going to support him as an extension of Calvary Baptist Church. You understand that? Every missionary, I always let people know who've supported me over the years in Romania and Colorado that I was their missionary. I mean, I was their response to the Great Commission to go into the world. And I was doing, I saw myself as being responsible, not only and especially to my sending church at First Landmark in Sheridan, but to every church who put their confidence in me to send me and support me and my wife and my family to go to these different places to serve the Lord. So I'm glad that you've had 50 years of knowing that this is a job and responsibility and that you're doing it. I'd be so disappointed if I got here this morning and there was no indications that you're doing missions. But you're having a missions conference because you understand that it is every member's responsibility and every one of the Lord's churches to reach the world. We're not doing as good as we ought to as churches of the American Baptist Association or churches in the United States that we're just not reaching as many as we need to. And I in the 12 years we were out in Colorado, 6 before we organized and stayed on another 6 years, while we were there, when we went there, there were 10 churches. And while we were there, 6 of them closed their doors. And so it brought us down to 4. We've started, our church has started, the one I pastored, started a new work between us and Denver, about halfway between Loveland and Denver, started a new work that's involved there. And then another church started a work out in the western part of the state. So we're back up to 6 for the whole state. While I was there, the 2 churches that we had in Utah closed their doors. Now there are no ABA churches in Utah. And this just, the kind of situation, doors shutting in Wyoming. And in fact, the few churches we have in Wyoming running about 10 to 12 people. So not a lot going on in some places like it is in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, places of that nature. A lot of work that needs to be done in the United States, but also in all the places of the world. We can't neglect the United States while we're thinking about the world. And in fact, that's kind of the burden on my heart this morning about a mission field that I think that we have, that you have here in this community and even in this church, a mission field that I think is being, in a sense, forgotten or neglected. And that's a mission field of our young people who are not getting the gospel presented to them in ways that they can understand, and more especially that they're not getting much teaching and training about the Word of God. And I'll explain that as I go through this in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 1, the scripture says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." And I've been told that that means lessons from our past. This writer says, I want to make sure that I'm passing on lessons from our past. And of course, living in the day he did, he had Old Testament scriptures going back, to the Genesis account of creation and Adam and Eve and the fall. He had the stories of Enoch and his going up to just being raptured out, and the stories of Noah and the flood. He had stories of the call of Abraham and then the stories of Moses and the time in Egypt and the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt and their 40 years of wandering. He had all those stories that he says that needs to be passed on. And notice verse 3. He says, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." He said, I want to be sure I'm telling these same stories of old and passing on this information that my dad and mom told me. Now, here's the thing that I want to mention to you is recently there was a survey done. I think it was a Barna survey that the question was asked a lot of Christians, my generation, many of you, the generation you live in. The question was, did your parents either tell you or teach you somehow or expose you somewhere through Sunday school somewhere? Did they tell you the Bible stories? Did you get the information about certain Bible stories? Had a preacher tell me the other day, an older preacher told me that the school he attended, his teacher in a public school, every morning read a Bible story to the kids. Now, we know that doesn't go over too well these days in public school, but anyway, the question was, did your parents tell you stories from the Bible? You know, maybe not all of them, but at least some of the main ones that we think about. 86% of the respondents said, yes, my parents, you know, were good to tell me some Bible stories. I'm thankful I was raised in a Christian home. So much so that at 7 years old, the day that I realized I was a sinner, I also accepted Christ as my Savior. In fact, I went to my mom and said, Mom, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. And she said, Son, do you know what you need to do about that? And I said, yeah. And we talked a little bit, and I accepted Christ as my Savior that very day. Well, because I had been instructed well from the Scriptures. You know, Timothy, Paul mentions to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So you can know to be saved at a young age. And so anyway, let's go on back to this survey, because here's the scary part. The next question in that survey was, okay, 86% of you that heard from your parents the old story, how many of you, how well have you been in passing on those same stories to your kids? And the number dropped to about 36% who said, well, you know, yeah, I've been telling my kids, but the other 50% of them said, well, you know, we've been busy. Our kids are in sports, and they've got, all these activities. They come home from school, and they've got all this homework, and we've got this, and you know what, little time we have for ourselves, we've got to, you know, we go off, and we do this and do that. You understand what I'm getting at, is even parents who know and grandparents who know these stories, they heard it from their parents, are not passing it on. And I'm telling you, that 36%, if they don't pass it on, how many generations does it take till it just kind of goes away from people's thinking? Just one generation. That's all it takes, is one generation not passing it on to their kids or their grandkids or great-grandparents. Maybe there's some of you here as well. They just forget to tell those stories, and hey, kids don't even know any of this. We're going to get to the heart of this in just a minute, why this is so important. But that's a statistic that's got me very concerned, that a mission field that we're just letting go is our own kids and our grandkids, our great-grandkids, our nephews or nieces, if you don't have children, or, you know, the children in our neighborhoods. We're not passing on to them those wonderful old stories of the Scriptures, not just Old Testament stories. I'm talking about New Testament stories, and explain to them what Christmas really is supposed to be about, or why we celebrate it, and Easter, and things of that nature, making sure they understand the stories. Well, he goes on to say in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Now, we want them to understand why we come to a house of worship and have praise services, or why we, you know, why we do what we do in the way of service to the Lord. And he says, and his strength. We want them to understand God is all powerful. Yes, he can part the Red Sea, and he can bring water from a rock, or, you know, he can cause a, you know, the wonderful things that we read in the Scriptures to happen. He can bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of fiery furnace, and them not even have the smell of singed hair. I mean, he can do those things. Amen? He can close the mouths of lions. He can do all the things that the Bible teaches. But if they don't hear those stories, how do they know his strength? How do they know he can be depended upon? And he says, his wonderful works that he's done. This is why the psalmist was so desperate that they passed this on. Look at verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That takes us back. Don't lose your place in Psalm 78. We've got two more verses we're going to look at. But go back to Deuteronomy for just a moment. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4. You remember that Deuteronomy is Moses' second opportunity to share the law of Moses, to share the law that God had given him on Mount Sinai. You remember that there was a generation that had gotten all this information, and that generation of people who had been delivered out of the children of Israel, I mean, out of Egyptian bondage, you know, you remember that that God, you know, as I said, parted the sea, provided them manna, and protected them, and brought them right up to the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, and said, now it's time to go in. And they decided to send some spies in there to look out the land. And you remember that 12 came back, and they said, yes, it's everything God said it would be. You know, there's only two of those men. You probably remember their names. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. What about the other 10? How many of you can name the other 10? Nobody can. Why? They're forgotten because they came back with this negative message. No, we can't do it. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. The point I'm trying to make is they understood that generation were given an opportunity. They actually lived the deliverance. They lived the parting of the sea. They lived God's provision. And they said, no, we can't do this. And God said, okay, you don't think you can do it? Then you're not going to do it. And so everybody 20 years and older for the next 38 years or so, wandered in the wilderness and died. In fact, I'm told there were brother, you may know the numbers, over 1,000 funerals a day it took in order to bury all those people over those next that generation. So now we're back with a new generation of people, and Moses says, this is my last shot with this group of folks, and I'm going to tell it all again. And he gives them the law and the instructions. And look at a few verses very quickly. Deuteronomy 4:1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Look down at verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord God in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And notice this especially, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And I'm sure he wanted to just keep on saying, and your sons' sons' sons, and keep on going. Well, that's what we just read here in Psalm 78. The psalmist is saying, I want to make sure that what my dad told me, I'm going to pass it on to my kids, and that I want to go ahead and pass it on, that they should make them known to their children. Verse 5. Look at verse 6 now. That the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. Best I can figure out, he's mentioned his father, himself, his kids, his kids' kids, generations to come to tell their kids. You know, he just says, this is so important, we pass it on. But folks, if we go from 86% down to 36% admitting that they're passing on in our day, what happens to the next generation? If we don't make it our burden, our concern, to keep telling our children, and not just our children, but this ministry that we're involved in is really focusing on the children in other countries as well. Countries where they've not even been introduced hardly to the true and living God. And we're trying to do that. We're preparing materials to go into several countries or any country of the world to just introduce to them to God. But we are also providing the children with materials so that their generation, if the Lord tarries, will tell the next generation, and so on and so forth. But you see, my burden is about here as well, about my grandkids, about my kids. You know, I have done everything I told you a while ago. I've done everything I know, my wife has too, to make sure not only that our kids know these things, but that our grandkids do. That's why I picked the kids up every day. My request, can I take the kids to school so that I could use that time every day to just pour a little more of myself into them. Back a few months ago when we moved here, our grandson was still 15 at the time. Now he's 16. He has to have 50 hours of driving before he can get his license there in Colorado. And I was one of the two people assigned to try to help him get his hours in. So when it was time for us to move, it was going to be tough saying goodbye to Loveland Baptist Church after 12 years of ministry, say goodbye to the community. I was a police chaplain for almost all those same 12 years. Tough to say goodbye to the chaplaincy there. And so we said to our daughter, you know, the kids don't have to go back to school for about two more weeks. Can we take them with us? And thankfully, she said to the three of my daughters, we've got another grandchild by our son who's there as well. But those three kids that I've taken to school all these years, I said, let's get one more opportunity with them. And so my wife had the two granddaughters, and I took the grandson so he could drive. And I thought, this is a great 15-hour trip that I can keep pouring myself into Dylan. And so sure enough, we hadn't gone very far. And I said, hey, Dylan, did I ever tell you? You know, and I started telling him stories about how God had worked and blessed in my life, and about how God had been so good, and I just kept, every once in a while he'd say, yeah, Papa, you told me that story, and then I'd say, well, let me tell you, maybe I left out something, you know, and then I'd tell another story, and every once in a while he'd say, no, I haven't heard that one, you know, and I didn't tell him just the good stuff, I told him the bad. Here's the deal, I knew that he knew the Bible stories, because we'd made sure to help his mama make sure they knew those Bible stories. But what I wanted him also to know is all those stories related in my life. that the same God who had done all those wonderful things for those folks at the Old Testament and done all those miracles had done some great things in John Sanders' life, and he'd made such a great change in my life. And you know, I told him the bad, you know, as well as the good, but how God had forgiven and been patient with me. But I wanted him to know that he didn't need to trust God just based on those Old Testament stories, but on Grandpa's experience and on his parents' experience, that he would know those things are real. And so that brings us to that last verse, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. That's why we want these, our kids, our grandkids, our nephews and nieces, our neighborhood kids, to know these Bible stories and know about the personal experience we have had with God, so that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. If we don't tell them these things, how do they know to put their trust in him? How do they know that he's all powerful? You know, about 3.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You don't think I tell folks God's good? He answers prayer. He's able to do some great things. Now, he chooses at times, there are times that people don't survive and things of that nature. But, you know, I like to give him praise for answered prayers, not just on my part, but all the people who I know were praying for me through that ordeal. But the point is, and a challenge I want to make, and I'm going to close now. I realize I'm at the end of our service time. But listen, here's what I'm pleading with you to do. As you think about missions, not just the missions going on all over the world, and praise God for the support of missionaries and people who are surrendering to go, and maybe someone feeling a call to go to some of these places. And I pray you respond to that. But understand another mission that you have is your kids, your grandkids, the children around here. It is to make sure they know God and his greatness, those Bible stories. That means getting them to Sunday school, getting them to Bible school, but it also means having family devotions. It's talking about the Bible and those stories at home as well. And not only the stories of the Bible, making sure you're sharing with them how good God has been to you. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Has there been something good this week that you know God did for you that you haven't told your kids about or your grandkids about? I want to challenge you this morning to take this afternoon to say, hey, you know what that preacher talked about? Let me tell you. I have neglected to tell you about the day I got saved, or I neglected to tell you about how God heard and answered this prayer in my life, how God forgave me in this situation. Let them know how good God is and how he's worthy of our praise. And what was the reason, verse 7? That they might set their hope in him, that they might understand his works and his power, and that they would also keep his commandments. I think that's a great mission field that we need to respond to this morning. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that is the first and foremost need that you have to take care of this morning, to accept that Jesus Christ really did leave the glories of heaven and live without sin, so that he could pay the penalty on the cross, not for his sins, because he had none, but for my sins and for your sins. They buried him. He rose the third day, assuring us that every promise of salvation and security is based on him, and that he can save you and give you eternal life and a home in heaven if you trust in him, that there is no other way of salvation but him. If you haven't trusted him, trust him as your Savior. Today would be a wonderful, wonderful day to do that. If you've not committed your life in service, make that commitment. If you're not sharing your faith, even with your kids or your grandkids, get busy and do that. That is a great mission field that you need to respond to this morning. And thank you again, Brother Isaac, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Brother. We'll have our ushers come, or our musicians come. We've got a challenge today.